Jack Llewellyn with the Chamber of Commerce for all things Chamber. I can talk this morning. Need more coffee maybe, but anyway, simply go to DurangoBusiness.org. All things chocolate, Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. Kelsey Smith from our downtown store location. Now, that was the original...
Yes.
Rocky Mountain Chocolate?
We are the original Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory store, and I love sharing kind of our origination story with folks that visit Durango, as well as some of our locals. Not everybody's aware. And the Sizzling Siam store, which is just across the Palmer lot from us, was the very first storefront. But as you all probably know, it's a very, very, very small space. So we were able to shift into the larger space that we're in now. But we've been here since 1981.
And for those that don't know, Rocky Mountain Chocolate started here in Durango.
Yep.
And the corporate headquarters are out in Bodo Park.
Indeed. Yep. We are out there right by SCA. And yeah, it's a lot of fun having been with the company for several years, but nothing compared to our full duration. So it's a lot of fun being in like a hometown, Durango pride, you know, local company.
Well, and you grew up here.
Yes. Yeah, I did. I grew up here. Somebody that I work with at the factory coined the term boomerang town, which Durango very much is. I actually have moved away and back two times now.
Oh, wow.
This time I plan to stay.
Double boomerang.
Yes.
Wow. Exactly. Okay. Well, and so with Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory, you know, last week you had the Bloomer sale, and that was the first one in quite a while, if I remember right.
We did end up pulling one together last year, but it was... It was about a week prior to Christmas, so it was kind of didn't align with our normal time frame that we normally host it. And then prior to that, we hadn't had one at all, kind of like during COVID. So it was really nice to kick that off again back at the fairgrounds and see everybody there and sell a lot of delectable chocolate that will be gifted for holiday and hopefully some enjoyed by those who bought it as well.
Well, who doesn't love chocolate? Now, all right, so... And I don't know why I'm going to say this in this accent. What's a bloomer? So what is a bloomer?
Bloomer is essentially second quality chocolate. So it doesn't look perfect enough to sell. At the price point we sell our chocolate, everything needs to look perfect, beautiful. So any small blemish, anything from maybe like a scuff to, you know, a crack or any discoloration that can happen, those are kind of what we consider our bloomers or second quality chocolates. And the best part about them is they look bad, but they taste just as good as the real deal.
It's funny when you say they look bad because I've actually been to the Bloomer sale in the past and I'm looking going, well, this doesn't look like there's anything wrong, you know,
but
to the untrained eye,
it's
got a deformity or a oblong or, you know, not quite the, like you say, the quality of what Rocky Mountain, what we expect.
Exactly. That's very true. You know, to all of us that work at the store, we would say, well, this is an imperfect piece, but most people would say it looks great to me.
So my problem would be I'd walk around going, this is an imperfect piece, and then eat it. And they, oh, look, there's another.
We do get to do a little of that in the store, which is nice.
Well, quality control purposes, of course, right?
Exactly.
So so with the downtown store, do you still have your caramel apples? Because I came in and bought, what was it, four of the caramel apples for myself and then for my staff. Oh, they were so good.
Yes, we do. And those are, we have those year round. They're one of our top selling items. And even though, you know, Rocky Mountain Chocolate, whenever folks come in, if they've seen our brand, you know, in other states or in airports, they always say, oh my gosh, I love y'all's caramel apples. So that's really what we've become known for. So we do sell them year round right now. Now that the train has started back up for Polar Express, we are seeing a huge amount of apple sales and we will all the way through the end of the year pretty much.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, and how many flavors? Because, I mean, I bought three different flavors, I think, or four. It's three because I bought two of the one that was voted the
yes
the best tasting
peanut butter pie.
Peanut butter pie. Yeah. That's what it was. It was good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. We actually had a fun challenge for our franchise system. And so we allowed them to get creative with caramel apples, and they came up with their own recipe. And then it was submitted to corporate, and they did like a taste test vote and nominated the best apple, the peanut butter pie. And so now they rolled out marketing materials around it and are encouraging stores to make that apple. So that's our newest flavor. And we plan to continue making that one. And so with that one added to our lineup, we probably have, we try to keep our varieties between like 14 to 16.
Really? Oh, I was thinking, you know, eight or so. Wow.
We keep quite a few, but there's only so much space to display them, and we don't want to overwhelm. So that's why we try to go for no more than 16. And we always have kind of our core flavors, and then we also do some seasonal in the rotation as well.
Yeah, because you also have like a caramel salted apple.
That one is a local hit because it's one of the few that we do in dark chocolate. So we do milk and dark. It's a caramel apple dipped in either milk or dark chocolate, and then we sprinkle it with a coarse sea salt, and they are to die for.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
So good. Oh, yes. Well, everything you have in there is so good. And what I really like, too, because my mom was diabetic, and so obviously, you know, couldn't have, had to have sugar-free, and you have that as a as an option as well.
Yes, we do. We have a great sugar-free selection. We get really good feedback on it as far as the taste. So sometimes with sugar-free, it's hard to avoid kind of a strange aftertaste. The way our sugar-free is formulated, you don't get that. And so a lot of, we have, you know, customers that have tried it just to try it. And there's not a huge difference in flavor. The biggest difference that you can see visually is just the piece size. They're a lot smaller, right? Because those folks can't, you know, they have to be mindful of any sugar intake, whether it's a sugar substitute or natural sugar from nuts and things like that. So smaller piece size, but we get great feedback on the sugar-free.
Yeah, it is delicious. And I, you know, I had to, you know, again, quality control and, you know, make sure that as a chamber director, you know, making sure the quality's there. And it always is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Now, so I'm on this kick of how many flavors, but you have when you, you know, your box of chocolates and, you know, I'm going to start talking like Forrest Gump now, but life is like a box of chocolate and all of the different flavors. So now if we go with that, how many, you know, because I'm looking at that. It's amazing.
It is. We have a huge selection in the store. And again, some things are rotational or seasonal. You know, our product offering can vary here and there, but if I had to give an estimate of all of our chocolates just in the displays and our candy cases, probably I'd say like 120-ish. Probably.
What?
That includes like, you know, milk and dark counterparts. We have everything we have in milk and dark, and some we have in white as well. But, you know,
I'm thinking 40. I mean, seriously, I am like way underestimating because I'm like, you know, I'm thinking a box of chocolates and the number of rows and I'm doing in my mind, you know. But that's a lot.
There's a lot. There's a lot there. Wow. So there's something for everybody.
Well, absolutely. All right. So out of all those 140 flavors, what's your favorite? Do you have one?
You know, we always get that question in the store, and I have such a hard time with it because I can't pick a favorite. I really like literally everything that we offer. I love, but I'm a dark chocolate fan, and I'm also a peanut butter fan. So we have a dark peanut butter finger. It's kind of like a smaller version of the peanut butter bucket. So I really love that piece, and I also love our dark Coco Loco, which is a coconut cream. So if you think of like an elevated Mounds, essentially, it's a coconut cream with dark chocolate and then shredded coconut on top.
Okay.
So good.
So you know the biggest problem with this interview, the samples. I mean, all of a
you
sudden.
You know what's in my purse here.
Is that, well, I was told by my mom, never look in a woman's purse. I'm like, okay, mom, got it. A lot of mom flashbacks here. But no, I'm just giving you a bad time. But no, it is. It's something that what I love walking into the store downtown or even the factory, but just the smell of chocolate. It's like, oh, it's such a, I want to say that's that comfort food, that comforting, you know, you just smell it. It's like, oh, yeah, I've died and gone to heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things that we like to focus on in the store is kind of that sense of like having a full experience when you come into the store that touches all the senses, right? So the aroma is a huge part of that. Sights, smells, tastes, what you hear. So it is funny because a lot of folks comment when they walk in the door that it smells so good in here.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, most of us have gotten to the point where we are immune to it in a sense,
sure.
Unless we're cooking. So when we make caramel apples, that aroma is fantastic.
Yeah.
And same with fudge. I mean, both of those, when we're cooking in the store, you get that like elevated aroma in the store.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's funny because people will comment and I'm like, I think I'm just immune to it now.
Well, and it's one of those things when you are immersed in it, you know, and you get used to it, you're around it, you know, yeah. you kind of adapt to it. Now,
right.
Along the lines of, okay, you got all the different chocolate, we talked about the caramel apples. What other, you know, things do you care? Excuse me, you carry, you mentioned fudge.
Yes.
Yep. What are some of the other product lines that you have?
Yeah, so the ones we make in the store that we've already talked about, the caramel apples, the fudge, we also do we have a whole entire display of treats that we make in the store as well. So that would be dipped marshmallows, uh-huh. Milk and dark. We do a sprinkle marshmallow. We do a fun snowman marshmallow, which is also a super big seller this time of year, not only now, but year round. And then we do dip pretzels. So those giant pretzel rods, you find at the store, we take and dip them in confection and sprinkles or mm-hmm. caramel with nuts and chocolate. And we also make a variety of barks, so avalanche bark, kind of like a peanut butter Rice Krispie treat.
Oh, yum.
We make a tiger butter bark, which is also a peanut butter with milk chocolate striping on top.
Say that three times. Tiger butter bark.
Tiger butter bark.
I love it.
We also have Oreo bark, M&M, and caramel pretzel bark. And then we also do dipped fruit, too. So we do dipped maraschino cherries every day, and we do dipped strawberries every day.
Okay.
So those are very popular as well.
And when you mention bark, that's it's like a flat sheet.
Yes, it is. So we make it in trays, right? Uh-huh. If you think of like a large, almost like a large cafeteria tray, we make trays of it at a time, and then we cut it into 20 pieces. And those are one of the few items that we sell by weight. So, larger pieces cost a little more, smaller pieces cost a little less. But
it's all by weight.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Now, all right, so when you mentioned that you're making those, you make those right downtown?
Yes, we do. There's a lot that we make in the store, and some of that can go unseen. Just if we're busy and, we've got somebody making something and somebody else is waiting on customers, sometimes they can see what we're doing. They'll peek over the counters and say, what are you guys making over there? And we get a lot of engagement around that. But at the same time, depending on, how busy the store is, not everybody has an opportunity to see that. So I always encourage people to come in different times of day to see what we're working on, because we're usually making something.
Yeah. Well, and there's the big copper kettle.
Yes. Which we still use. Yep.
So
that's what we use.
Is that for the caramel apples?
Yes. We make caramel in it. We make our fudge in that. And then there is also a huge granite table in the front of the store. And so when we make fudge, we cook it in the copper kettle, pour it onto the table, and then we put all our additional toppings and we like hand spade it and hand make a fudge loaf.
Yeah.
And then we cut it into pieces.
So are there particular days or times if somebody wanted to see? I was something like I used to be fascinated watching someone that was like a glass blower, but I'd also be fascinated watching you create these wonderful, delicacies with all the chocolate. I want to come down and watch this.
Yeah, right now we typically cook every other day. So Monday, Friday morning, we are always cooking. We have a dedicated cook who's in Monday, Friday, and then we supplement between that. So my assistant manager and myself will also fill in and cook as needed. So typically Monday, Friday, we're filling in Wednesday and usually a weekend day right now. So that's about four times a week.
Yeah.
Every other day or so. But when we're not making apples or fudge, we're usually making, the marshmallows
something
and the
else.
Bark and dipped items. So.
And then I got to ask, you guys have samples? I think you've offered them a couple times.
Every day?
We
usually have, there's a little variation day to day in what we offer, but we always have free samples in the store. You should always be offered a free sample. We do get busy, when we are busy, we usually will have them near the register so we can offer folks while they're paying. They can try out whatever the sample may be for the day. But
All right.
One of the few places in town you can get something for free.
Yeah.
You can have a sample and not buy anything, and that's perfectly fine.
Well, yeah. Well, if you, all right, I got to come down and watch this process being done. So, talk about careers. So, you've been with them quite a few years now.
Yes. Yeah, it's actually been just over 8 years. So, wow. It's been my first and only full-time career out of college from Fort Lewis here.
Yeah. And so with that, how did your career start, and what all did you do to become then the store manager?
Yeah, and actually it's kind of funny. I started as the store manager, and full circle, here I am again. Oh. But I was hired as the store manager back in fall of 2015. So that was
When you say retired, though, I'm going, you're too young to retire. Wait a minute. So you worked before, yes.
Yeah, okay. So I started out managing the store back in fall of 2015, and I had graduated from Fort Lewis earlier that spring, so was happy to kind of find something with a local company that I felt passionate about. I remember going on tours of the factory as a little girl, and I can even tell you what piece I ate. You know, at the end of the tour, they let you have a sample, and I had a raspberry caramel, which we still make, and I still love. But I was in that role for about a year and a half, and then they had an opening for a field consultant. So, which is basically, you know, franchise support, regionally based. And so that opening was in the Pacific Northwest. And so I actually moved up to Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
And I was a field consultant for the company for about a year and a half. And so in that role, you know, it's basically just kind of assisting franchise operators in that region. So Oregon, Washington, Central Northern California was the region that I had. So I had the opportunity to travel around, visit Rocky Mountain Chocolate stores, you know, provide support to those businesses in whatever capacity. Maybe they were short-staffed and they needed help, you know, with customer service. Maybe they needed help training staff. Maybe they needed help with cooking, or, you know, we just did store visits as a support role for them. And so I was able to do that. After about a year and a half, I started getting homesick and I wanted to come back to Durango.
Yeah.
So I was able to transfer back as the customer service manager. And so I worked at the factory in customer service. And I did that for a little over 3 years. And so, you know, as we go along, of course, this is like such a huge opportunity for me to be able to see the company operations from all different angles. So I am very fortunate to have gone through that. And then we have had a lot of changeover with our executive team and upper management team. And so something that they did for the store role specifically, they kind of revamped this role into flagship operations manager. So not only do I now get to manage the store, I'm also able to help with our franchise training program at the factory.
Oh, wow.
And then hopefully after we get through holiday season, I'll be able to do a bit more traveling as kind of an extra for the field team. So the role now is a little bit of kind of a combination of my first role as store manager and my second role as a field consultant. So I love that about it. I was really excited to just get back into the store environment. Something I've learned about myself over the past, you know, several years and the different roles is that I really have to be on my feet. I have to be active at work. And so, while I've gained all that background and everything that I've done, I'm really happy to be back in the store and kind of seeing it in a new light and having the opportunity to, you know, do even better this time around. So it's been a lot of fun and just kind of, you know, learning the new team there. And yeah, really, really enjoy it. It's a great company to work for.
Well, and I just, along that same line, is taking that, you know, on, you know, boots on the ground, so to speak, you know, making the chocolate, running a store, having that experience, you know, so you know what it takes to run a store, and then taking that practical experience hands-on to, and, you know, share your knowledge with the other franchises. So are there, I mean, right now, workforce, everybody needs workforce. So I'm assuming, especially going into the holidays, Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory is no different.
Right. That's true. And for the store, we are always accepting applications. And I would say the same for the factory. They are almost always hiring in some capacity at the factory as well. For the store, it's more customer service oriented, waiting on folks that come in. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, but, you know, there are right now happens to be one of our very busy times. And so there's a lot of seasonality to it, but it's a lot of fun and it's a great group of people. And then over at the factory, there are so many different components that go into making a piece of chocolate and then making, you know, putting together box chocolates too. Yeah. So there's a lot that goes into play there, and there's so many different departments, you know, everything from kitchen to bulk packing and, you know, packaging items. And then we have all of our admin roles at the actual factory as well. So there's a lot of opportunity there. We employ probably about 100 people on average at the factory.
Uh-huh.
And then out of the store, we have about 10 people on staff at a time.
Okay.
And we do have some crossover as well. We actually have an employee in the store who formerly worked at the factory.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing kind of like evening shift there, and the timing wasn't ideal, and they had some change with roles at the factory. And so she actually just transitioned over to the store and has we've really been fortunate to have her at the store.
You know, you mentioned an evening shift. I think that's important to point out, because if somebody, you know, trying to figure out, you know, from having kids in daycare and, you know, significant others working during the day. And then, you know, they said, well, I can pick up an evening shift, you know, or doing something possibly like that.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, you know, just transit times, right? So, you know, we have a lot of staff that at the factory that actually travel from New Mexico or even Arizona to come to work. And then at the store, we've got some folks that live in Bayfield, some folks in Mancos.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is, you know, a little bit of a drive involved to get to work.
Right.
And depending on time of day, sometimes you know, it's you have to build in that transit time as well.
So what else does Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory make behind the scenes that I may have one of those I had no idea moments?
Right. Well, there are so many different things that we make. And so something you'll notice if you've gone to like stores outside of ours here, right? We do have franchise stores all across the U.S. They do have a little bit of creative liberty. So there is, you know, you could go into a different store and maybe see an apple that we don't make here in Durango, or and vice versa. You could go into a store and find a bark that we don't make here in Durango. So it is fun to see what stores have gotten creative with out there. Even just in New Mexico at the Farmington store, they make an apple with pine nuts on it. So it's a piñon apple. And I'm working on sourcing those here in Durango so we can make them too, because we get questions for them all the time.
Sure.
So
I thought you were going to say green chili or something.
Some stores do, you know, spicy inspired chocolates or confections. A lot of our California stores do like a hard candy apple with tajin, and then they serve chamoy on the side to dip it in. So yeah, there's a lot of regional flair out there too.
Okay.
So,
And I'm going to interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you taste the chocolate, so Chocolate Fantasia was a big event.
Yes.
You know, we used to do with Volunteers of America.
Yeah.
I've heard a rumor it could come back, not with Volunteer, but somebody else is looking to do this.
Yes,
so maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
There's a possibility. It's been up for discussion.
Yeah. All right. So that would be awesome. But I was a judge one time, and former Dave Kearns, who now works at the college, was explaining as a judge what to look for when eating a piece of chocolate. And it's like what did he say? The taste, the melt, the aftertaste. I was like, I had no idea. I just eat chocolate.
Yeah, there are so many complexities that can go into tasting it, enjoying it. A lot of that starts with the appearance and the aroma too, right?
Okay.
So there's all these notes you want to look at even before you bite into it.
Right.
Which leads me to holiday taste testing. We have every season, right? So whether we look at spring, summer, fall, Christmas, we always have new and exciting seasonal flavors that are incorporated.
Uh-huh.
So right now we have a couple different seasonal truffles. We have a peppermint bark truffle, a milk and cookies truffle, a dark chocolate clementine caramel, and then we have a salted peanut toffee. So these are only around for holiday season.
Okay.
And we are going to try and start incorporating some holiday taste testing. So we would get into those, you know, flavor notes, the aromas, the aftertaste, things like that of all of these seasonal items, and then carry that into future seasons when we bring out like a new spring line and we bring out new summer treats. So we are looking at exploring some things like that where you can really sit down with an expert.
Sure.
We can go through the notes of what you're enjoying, and
like
everybody gets to take home a little box of treats. And we are looking at potentially hosting that in the store, you know, morning time, like maybe 10 to 11 or so that we don't interfere with too much of our afternoon traffic. But
so I'm kind of thinking that, you know, the chamber director should be invited.
Yes.
You know,
he could be part of the inaugural celebration.
We will do that. We'll get you on the air. Now, also, I've seen, you know, not only for Noel night, but also 12 Days of Christmas. You've got a lot of things coming up for the holidays.
There is a lot going on with us all the way through end of year. So starting with this Friday, Black Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, which would have been yesterday because we're pre-recording this. So yesterday, go ahead.
Yesterday.
Well, you know, I always point that out because I do tell people we pre-record this. So when people go, wait a minute, Jack, what were you talking about? And I'm like, well, we pre-record. So.
Well, so just so you know, because this is something we do, we celebrate a lot of, you know, special days with this type of promotion, three of a kind. So buy three, get one free within the same category. So buy three, get one free on any light categories, so truffles, bears, caramel apples, fudge, buy three, get one free.
Okay.
And you will see that going forward, you know, depending on any type of holiday that might be coming up. We always have some type of deals and promotions to offer. So, and then looking at Noel night, of course, we have our big, beautiful copper kettle that we cook in.
Uh-huh.
We will be serving up hot cocoa out of that. That'll be free. Oh. Free cocoa for Noel night. And
right.
Then we are also going to have... It kind of coincides with our 12 Days of Christmas sale, where we have a different sale every day from December 1 through December 12.
Uh-huh.
So just as an example, on the 1st, it's going to be a free caramel apple with a $30 purchase. Day 2, it's buy 2, get 1 free on box chocolate. So different sale happening every day.
Wow.
Noel night will coincide with the 1st, so it'll be a free caramel apple with a $30 purchase in addition to the free hot cocoa. And on top of that, we'll be doing drawings at the register. So that could be anything from, you know, 10% off your order, 15, 20, 25% off your order, or maybe a free truffle or a free bear or, you know.
Oh.
So lots of freebies. Come in and see us.
And something every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, you know, 12 days of Christmas, 12 days of chocolate.
Yes, exactly.
And checking that out through the whole entire the holiday season. Now, all right, so maybe think, because, you know, there are people with different allergies, so to speak. And and you had mentioned to me one time your hot chocolate, gluten-free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't even know, is chocolate gluten-free? I have no idea.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And actually, majority of what we produce is gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you would want to stay away from our chocolate-dipped Oreos, Grahams, pretzels.
Right.
But majority of the other pieces that we make are inherently gluten-free. But we always share in the store there is risk of cross-contact because it's made on charity equipment.
Yeah.
However, at the factory, they do really rigorous allergen testing. And I personally actually have celiac, and I will enjoy all of our treats that are not, you know, as I mentioned, Oreo, Graham, pretzel, because they do that allergen testing. You know, I'm really comfortable with that process because I've seen it in person.
Right.
And so I've not had any issues with the gluten-free component of the product. And then, of course, you have a whole other host of allergens that we always give that cross-contact, you know, warning to customers.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have our nutritional information in store. So we've got a nice like QR code that you can scan.
Yeah.
If anybody has a particular allergen that the team might not be 100% certain on, we let the customer decide if it's safe.
Well, you know, and I've learned a lot about, you know, celiac, and Colleen has, you know, celiac, and I've learned a lot through the whole process and the testing that she's gone through and other things. And I'm just always like, wow, I had no idea.
Right.
You know, that it, you know, it's can be serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always say, I liken it to almost like a shellfish allergy or something, you know, that, you know, yeah, and that's something to know and be aware of. And so with Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory, you know, you've actually got the QR code, people can scan that, you can look, you can see, and, you know, with your personal experiences, being able to say to somebody, okay, here's this, here's this, here's this, they're completely comfortable,
yes.
I had no idea.
Yep, there's so much that goes into that. A lot of unseen factors. And we do have, you know, there is the rare customer who really can't, cannot touch any of the cross-contact, you know, potential. We don't want to go there. We do have a line of vegan and allergen-free chocolates as well. So those are a non-dairy base. So it's either typically like a nut base. So we have an almond milk base, a coconut. And those are, you know, top allergen-friendly. So there's, you know... no dairy, no gluten, you know, Most of them don't have like a nut allergen in them either. So those have all the certifications for anybody who has to be especially cautious with that.
Well, and if somebody obviously has any questions, come on in, you know, to the store downtown and, you know, with your expertise, be able to explain that and be able to, you know, say, here's this, here's this, here's this. Now, along with, you know, with Rocky Mountain Chocolate. All right. So found it here in Durango. But there's also, you know, the franchises or independently owned franchise stores all over the U.S. and all over the world, right? I mean, because I go through airports, and I always like walking in and I say, I'm from Durango. Do I get a discount? And they just look at me like I'm really weird. And like, oh, Durango got that. I'm like, that's where Rocky Mountain Chocolate was founded. And they go and use it, you know, some kid probably.
Yeah, like, and they're like, oh,
they're looking at me like, okay, weirdo, here's your chocolate. Get out of here. But so people are, you know somebody or want to start a franchise, that's a possibility.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad that at the very beginning of this little discussion, you said Rocky Mountain Chocolate, the factory is going to, you know, be let go of our name. We are honing in on just Rocky Mountain Chocolate. We kind of announced our rebrand, refresh, synonymous with like our convention that we hosted in September. So there is going to be, you know, new imagery coming out, new packaging. We are really leaning on the Rocky Mountain Chocolate without using the word factory anymore. So there are changes
coming.
Oh, so
you have to get relogoed. I'm like, you know, you're sure you got to get that relogoed.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes coming. Those will happen incrementally as we get into next year, you know, all the way throughout the year. And so those changes will start being reflected at stores in the next several years. But we do have stores all over the U.S. You know, we've got about 150 Rocky Mountain Chocolate locations. All the way from California over to the East Coast. Of course, we do have a little more heavier concentration in California and Texas, but opening a franchise, you know, anywhere USA is eligible. And so there, of course, is, you know, a criteria and a process to go through there. But our franchise development team is, that's what they're there for. They're here to, you know, kind of help our business grow in the right ways, in the right places. And so, you know, we have people come into the Durango store and I've got a little brochure we can hand out with more information about the franchising process. And it's exciting when people come in and they're like, oh, I've never seen this before. And I always joke and say, do you want to open one in your town? Where are you from? No, we are always looking to expand and grow, especially in those markets that we don't currently, you know, have a place in. So there's just, there's a lot of great potential there and a lot of fun. Just imagine, you know, owning your own chocolate store.
You'd be like, and I immediately, where we go, you know, Willy Wonka and the, you know, chocolate. I mean, you just think of this thing as a as a kid, you know, and all the things that, you know, the chocolate just brings happiness to you.
Indeed. It's a very happy place. It's very rare that we have upset customers. Everybody's always happy, including our staff. You know, they love it. So,
Now, along that line, so, you know, I'll be driving somewhere and I see the big Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory truck. You know, it's all logoed on the side. So that'll be, I got to start saying Rocky Mountain Chocolate. So Rocky Mountain Chocolate going over the Rocky Mountain Pass. And are they delivering? What are those trucks?
So as it stands right now, we have our own fleet of refrigerated trucks. And so that they serve our franchises. So anytime our stores order product, the product is packed and palletized and loaded onto those refrigerated trucks. And they drive it to... we use cross-docking, right? So they deliver it to a major city, and then from there it gets distributed onto the stores.
Okay.
And so those are a huge component of our business right now, with everything getting packed at the factory and then shipped out of Durango on those refrigerated trucks.
Right.
It is a lot of fun seeing them around. You know, you'll see them in town every now and then, but it's especially fun when you're like traveling and you see one.
Right.
You're like, ah, what do you know? We're both from Durango.
There it is. Honk the horn, you know, and all that fun stuff. And, you know, it's funny too, because you say the refrigerator, and I wouldn't even thought of that. I'm going, I knew they're refrigerated. I see the big refrigeration unit on the front of the truck, the trailer, but I'm going, because you want to keep it the right temperature so it doesn't melt.
Yeah. Chocolate is very temperamental, so it needs to be kept at a certain temperature range. So even in the store, the candy cases are temperature regulated. And it's typically just right around room temperature, 68 to 72, but you want to avoid exposing it to any, you know, fluctuations that happen with like the door being opened and closed when it's especially warm or especially cold outside. So it's very temperamental. But it, and that is kind of a bit of a learning curve for folks that maybe don't have any background with confections.
Sure.
But for the most part, you know, we... We take good care of it.
Yeah, you got everything lined up and dialed in. And then, and obviously, if you decide to open up a franchise, and if you are interested, you can probably go to Rocky Mountain Chocolate, Google it, and I'm sure there's, you know, become a franchisee, and there's all that information. So off air, you have a class you just did. Yeah. Decorating caramel apples?
Yes. Yeah, we hosted the very first one yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I will say, you know, I have to give credit. We took inspiration from another store. So the Castle Rock location, they are a cafe location. And so they implemented this idea, I believe, last year. And they are blessed with a lot more space than we have in Durango.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, but they take their, you know, their central cafe space and they host caramel apple decorating parties. And so I reached out to the owners there and I said, hey, I'd love to implement this idea in Durango if you don't mind me, you know, adopting this idea.
Yeah.
And they
research and development. No, yeah, it's rip off and duplicate.
So they were all for it. And we hosted yesterday in the store a mom's group from Aztec. And so what the event looks like, we actually are not open to the public during this event. So we host it 10 to 11 in the morning, right when we open. When we would normally open, I should say. And we had put out, you know, tables and chairs in the lobby area. And we set everybody up with just a plain caramel apple. And then we set out all the toppings and delicious goodies to put on there. So we had some kiddos, probably age ranges from, I would say, 3 up to 7 or 8. And so everybody, you know, I did an example, showed the kiddos how to kind of dip their apple and then how to put toppings on it. So we had, you know, peanuts and sprinkles and chocolate chips and M&Ms and all kinds of fun toppings, and let the kids get creative with making whatever creation they wanted to make.
Sure.
So we had a lot of fun. The kiddos all made, you know, unique apples, and then it gave the moms a chance to kind of reconnect a little bit as well while the kiddos were staying busy.
Fun.
So great activity idea as we get into, you know, winter season. It's always hard in Durango to find like indoor activities for parents with kiddos. And so if anybody is interested in doing that, call the store. And we can coordinate with you. But it was a lot of fun. First kickoff event yesterday. So you should be seeing a little bit more about that on our social media pages. But, you know, there's also potential that as we go forward, we can kind of look at doing like seasonal apples, right? So maybe like a snowman apple or like an Easter bunny apple once we get into spring and things like that.
So I'm thinking a snowdown event.
Yeah, snowdown. Love it.
Yeah. I think the submissions have already had the deadlines come and pass. Just like you want something else. I can fill up your time, no problem, Kelsey. I got ideas, but what a great fun thing to do. And you know, and what kid would not love to decorate a caramel apple?
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And then once the apples were dry, we had everybody put them in a nice cellophane bag to take home and cut up and enjoy whenever they wish. And so we are looking kind of at that earlier time of day, like 10 to 11 in the morning, and then group size, probably no more than about 12. So kind of a smaller, more intimate group size, just because the store is only so big.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of fun. And it's also a consideration for, it doesn't have to be just kids.
Yeah.
We can always do, other groups in town.
Date night.
Something like anything like that we are open to. So.
So if you're interested, just stop by or give a call down to the store. Ask for you.
Ask for me.
All right.
Kelsey.
Ask for Kelsey. And then you'll be happy to run through some of the details and everything. So, all right. So this point of the show is when I always say, what have I not asked you that you'd like to highlight? Because, I mean, you got so much going on.
We do.
It just is amazing. And again, for those that may not know, Rocky Mountain Chocolate started here in Durango. The first store was the Durango store.
Right.
And then the franchises all over America, 150 of them roughly.
One of the fun things I always share too about when the company was, when the idea first came about and how it first came about, Frank Crail is our founder. He moved his whole family here from California back in, 1980 timeframe. And he kind of just started walking about town and saying, what does this town need? He had the two ideas in mind of a chocolate store or a car wash.
Oh.
So he just was kind of pulling around, and the big response that he got at that time was, we need a good chocolate shop
here.
And that was kind of the origination of it. And, you know, some of the first chocolates that were ever made were made on a ping pong table in somebody's sure. garage. And it was accidental that they turned out so big, right? So when you walk into a store today, you still see that enormous piece size. So our turtles are called bears because they're massive.
They're big.
Everything in the store is massive. The toffee is massive. The peanut butter buckets are called peanut butter buckets because they're almost a quarter pound. And so one of those happy accidents where it wasn't intended at the beginning, but it was so well received. And so we kept it all these years. And then the other thing that happened on opening day, I believe it was Memorial Day weekend of 1981. And, you know, they are just opening the store for the first day. Uh-huh. And somebody forgot to go get money from the bank. Oh. So we are operating on day one with no money in the cash registers. And so they're giving away product for free, which, you know, birthed the notion of free samples, which we also still do today.
Oh, fun.
So, you know, just a lot of happy accidents and things that, you know, in those early days, and which we've still carried on 40 some years later. Yeah. So
that,
just,
you know, those
just
are
a fun,
the fun stories.
Tale. Yeah. So we always love to share about that with customers that are not familiar with that we originated here. And, you know, some people have seen us in an airport or in another town, and we say, well, did you know this is the first original? And and it's we're always sharing that as much as we can.
And you can share more by just going into the store downtown in the right down in Rio Grande Land, right by the train station.
Right by the train station.
Go in and check it all out, get your free sample and buy some chocolate. 12 days of Christmas going on. Mm-hmm. All of the fun things. Kelsey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to seeing everybody in the store this holiday season.
Yeah, go in and check it out. And I didn't even ask you, we're out of time, but also thank you for doing the fudge for the for the troops, because that's something else that's just huge.
Happy
that
to.
You do. So, all right, we got to wrap it up. Have a great day and go eat some chocolate at Rocky Mountain Chocolate. Take care.